Good morning again. It's good to see you all here. And sometimes, you know, when I get up in the morning and I just never know what's going to happen, but you just kind of boop like that. Sometimes you get up and your heart is ready, your eyes are open, you're ready to go. And sometimes you get up and you kind of go, oh, I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to get going there. I don't know about you, but I've had many experiences where you're outside and you're early in the morning, and it's darkness there, and sometimes it's really the best for stargazing and things like that. But you know, in that darkness, then there's suddenly just a little peak of light dawning in the distance, and the joy of seeing that it's really miraculous. When you really think about it, and I think about those type of things where the darkness and the dawning and all how that plays together. And the darkness, and a lot of times it's a very negative part. It's, you know, especially when you talk about the kingdom of darkness. And we know that in the study of 1 Samuel, and today is our last chapter, you're probably going like that, but it's been a good study over this year and stuff like that, and learning quite a bit, different things for myself and what the Lord has been teaching us. And, you know, one thing I have to remember, Samuel, this book written was, you know, had a lot of wonderful things in it, you know, had a lot of challenges in there, you know, has, you know, the wonderful characters of, you know, you got Hannah, you know, and her faith, her song, and then you got Samuel growing up and being the judge and prophet and priest, really, of the kingdom. And then he had people like Jonathan, who was a faithful friend, and he had David, the giant killer, and then you had Eli, who lost his way, and, of course, you have Saul, who has fallen on a sword. And that kind of describes this book to us, and really in a short thing, what's happening after a guy named Joshua passed away, he led the nation across the river into the new promised land and defeated all those peoples, and so they could have that land. But after he died, and the elders after him, the nation started to fall away. And what bound them together was their worship of the Lord. They had that in common that held them tight together. But as they started to worship other things besides God, well, that caused the one thing that bound them together to start to break apart. And then you see this kingdom that's really kind of fractured. And, you know, one family group would be over fighting a war, and other ones would be over here just kind of sitting around, not doing anything about it. And so then, as time went on, these people, in their sinfulness, they rejected God altogether by asking for a king. And so they asked for a king, and the Lord gave them Saul. And Saul started off well. I mean, and we see that, and we have a lot of hope for him, a lot of potential in this man that has a strong physique, probably most likely going to be a great warrior. But his life and his character were shown that he was not quite what the nation needed at that time. And so they fell into darkness more and more. And as we're reading of that last chapter, it's a kind of a discouraging chapter to end this wonderful book. You know, going from chapter one, and you're seeing Hannah, you know, rising up in faith and God, you know, answering her prayers and stuff. And then, you know, here you are in this darkness, just enveloping the whole kingdom. And you're going, oh man, I'm feeling kind of depressed, kind of feel sorry for them. And, you know, we all need, you know, as we are in that darkness and as they are in that darkness, we need that dawning light to break through. And the question today is this: what brings the dawning light? What is it? What brings it? And so hopefully as we go through this passage, we'll understand more of that as well. So let's pray first before we go on. Father, we come before you knowing that our understanding of your word can only be so much until we invite you to enlighten us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So I pray that you'll do that even now, Lord, that you will speak through me. Your word will come alive, Lord, that it will become powerful and vivid. It will become something so wonderful that will change us, the way we think about our own lives and before a holy God, and how we even think of who you are and to know you more. So I pray that you bless this time, that your name be glorified in all of this. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you read, it's kind of a hard thing, but let me go through it. Saul, who had everything at the beginning, being king, you're pretty well set. He, in this point here, he lost everything. See, he not only lost his life, but he lost three of his four sons' lives. I don't know what happened to the fourth son. Later on, if you keep on going, 2 Samuel will see him. Maybe he was able to escape, they didn't say. But he lost three of his four sons. He lost his army, the ones that were around him. Anyways, there probably were some that escaped as well out of that, but he lost most of his army. He lost his crown. His kingdom would no longer exist. It ended with him. And then his honor was lost. And because, a lot of times it's how you die is how much honor you have. Right? And some people who stand firm, you see some of these people, like you think people like in, let's say, the Alamo, and they're fighting for their lives and they fight to the last blood drop in their veins and they die. And people say, well, that's honorable. They're doing what they could, to fight the enemy. And then, their lives were taken. Or other ways like that as well. So how you die, some people die quietly, some people die with scriptures on their mouth or being scriptures being read. Joy and I read scripture. Well, she read scripture to my mom as she was passing away into the Lord's hand as well, into his presence. And so, you have this, but then you also have these other ways to die where you're running scared. And actually, when you fall on your own sword, that's not an honorable way to die. It's actually a cowardly way to die. See, he was running. And he knew he was going to die, but he didn't have enough strength to face the enemy. He lacked what we call courage in the face of evil. See, the words that were spoken to him, from Samuel back in 1225. Do you remember that? As the words of Samuel came true for the nation of Israel here. Listen to this. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. And another version says, be swept away. So those were Samuel's words to the people. As a warning, if they were doing evil, and they weren't coming back to the Lord. They were still doing their own thing back then. And sadly, also remember Jonathan's words in 23, and he spoke to David to encourage him. He says, you will be king over Israel, and I'll be second to you. He had that hope, but it's not to be. He's laying on the Mount Gilboa with his dad dead. So that would not come to fruition. Also the words of, the curse, really. One of the curses that we remember talking about, what you sow is what you reap. Well, Saul reaped a lot of violence and a lot of evil and disobedience in his life. And so he has a disgrace towards the priest who he had murdered. And now he is facing the same thing, even in death. Hear the words of Samuel here. He says, "The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." A darkness, a dark ending, a tragic ending. And if you go further, if you look at 1 Chronicles, it kind of wraps it all up in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, "Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord or even even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse." Boom. Mic drop. The darkness is there. It's getting deeper and it's enveloping around the whole nation. And it gets even worse because now the Philistines get to play around. You know what their good news was? That Saul's dead. We cut off his head and his son's heads and they displayed them and they put their bodies up on the wall and pinned them up there. And they shouted it throughout the nation, their nation, and just said, "Hey, look, look. Our God is stronger than their God. Victory to the Philistines! Victory to Dagon, our great God." Can you hear it? Can you see it? The darkness. And as I was listening to Alistair, he added another thing here. He said this, they're shouting out, "Love is dead! Death has won! Hell has conquered." See, there's a warfare going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And right now, it's looking pretty bad. Yeah, still going on today. And we're seeing this darkness even today. Even in our own backyard, the darkness. There's a battle going on for the souls of the people around us. So, what do we do? We need help. We need a dawning light to shine forth. Well, it's interesting. Because at the same time, Saul is falling on his sword in total defeat and despair. David is winning a victory against the Amalekites and taking all the plunder. The darkness, there's a little light starting to lift. And then you read on about these men of Jabesh Gilead. And they remembered that when Saul first started as king, Saul heard that they were in trouble. There was a king that wanted to go get them and pluck out their right eyes, make them their servants. When Saul heard that, he said he called everybody to him and they went and they fought and they defeated them. And these people remembered that. And so they decided to go at night. I think they said it made about 15 or 20 mile walk. Maybe they had to run a little bit at night. But what they did was something very courageous, wasn't it? They're going into enemy territory and they took down the bodies of those four, the Saul and the sons, and they took them back to Jabesh. And so they would not have their bodies abused anymore by the Philistines. They burned their bodies and they took their bones and planted them under a tamarisk tree out of love and honor, honoring their lives in the midst of darkness. But in that darkness, there's something breaking through, a light, a dawning light. Because of what? Because of courage. And courage, we can say, oh, that's good. But courage can be misled. Because we can have courage to do bad things too. Just like the Philistines had courage to fight Israel and defeat them. You know, they had the courage to go out there and fight too. So we need more than just courage, because when you look at the definition, a biblical definition of courage is this: the ability to act in obedience to God's will, even when it's difficult or dangerous. So courage is the ability to act in obedience to God's will, even when it's difficult or dangerous. That's courage, okay? Now, you're saying, well, what about these valiant men? They showed courage. They went out there. But there is more than courage. There is also something called love. And that love is a critical point that guides courage, that will cause the dawning of this light to break through the darkness. Because as we look at love, it is unfailing. It conquers all things. Without it, the darkness will continue on. When we think about the Ten Commandments, you know, and Jesus wrapped them up in the two greatest commandments of love, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That love, combined with courage to be obedient to the will of the Father, no matter what the circumstances, that's what breaks through this darkness of the kingdom of the evil one. That's where the light starts to shine forth and bring this glorious light of hope in a new day that we just didn't see coming. We were hoping, but we just didn't see it coming until then. One of the greatest examples, of course, is Jesus. All right? When you look at his life, he had courage to go to that cross. And then he had love guiding him to that cross, because he wouldn't have won on it. He wouldn't have won in our place on that cross unless he had love for us. Because otherwise, well, we didn't even deserve. We know we don't deserve it, but if he didn't have love, well, then we would be dead in our sins today. So that courage of Christ walking to the cross, and the love is the motivating factor that moved him to the cross in that courage. That's what broke through the darkness of death and the power of the enemy and broke his kingdom and gave victory to the kingdom of God. And where the light broke forth, boom, out of that darkness. When he was hanging on that cross for those 3 hours, a supernatural darkness came in upon that whole area. And they knew something different was happening. And that's when Christ finally said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. That's when that centurion said, "Nobody else could do that but God. He must have been God." That darkness and then Christ's love and courage to be on that cross for us broke through that and brought light of a new dawning day to all mankind. It's wonderful, isn't it, when you think of it that way? It really is beautiful. Beautiful picture of Christ. The courage. You know, a lot of times when I think about courage, I think about soldiers, you know, and you kind of go, you know, what drove them forth? Because, you know, there had to be something that caused them to be courageous. Well, boot camp. When you go to boot camp, who's been to boot camp? If you've been to boot camp, they drill it in you. You better obey, or those guys around you are going to die. And it's going to be on your head. That's what it comes down to. And so they are obeying their commander, right? And that gave them the courage to go forth. And I believe they have love for those, for their family back home who they're defending, but also for their fellow men around them, fellow soldiers, comrades. And so they were able to lay down their lives for others. And then you can think of another way. How about all those moms out there who gave up work, career, to take care of their children? Or other people mocking them. Why do you do that? Do that? No. Because they understood how important it is to nurture your children from a young age up, to love them and to teach them things that they can't learn from anywhere else. That takes courage. And it takes a lot of love. Because a lot of people aren't doing that anymore these days. Not saying anything to people who are working with young children, all right? But I'm saying that there have been those who have taken that on at a deeper level. They've given up a lot. And that courageous love is that part that helps and guides all of that. To break through the darkness of this world, we need people, we need moms, we need dads, we need brothers, we need uncles and aunts, we need grandpa and grandma and greats and all that stuff to get behind our children and to help them walk in this world of darkness. It takes a lot of courage and love to speak into that. And another thing about love is that, isn't it, you know, it's interesting because in John 14, 21, it says this. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." Did you hear that? He who keeps my commandments is the one who loves me. And another part in 1 John 5, 3, it says, "In fact, this is love for God." Do you want to know, show love to God? You want to love God? This is how you do it. To keep his commands. So you go back to the basics, obey. Trust and obey, right? Those are so critical to show love to God. So in that courageous, you have courage, but if your courage isn't directed by love, it can cause a lot of havoc. But as we follow the commands of the Lord, it can be something very powerful, as we've seen. And then so a question is this then. Well, how do we get the courage? How do we get courageous love in our lives? So, you know, that other question we were asking, you know, what is the dawning of courage? Well, we know it's these people who are going to be motivated by love to have that courage to obey the Lord. So where does that come from, though? That's not something that's implanted in my heart. I don't know about yours. I'm not instantly obeying God. I need help. I don't know about you, but I need help and I need guidance in that. And so we turn back to David, because now David is, he's been king for 40 years and now he's passing on his kingdom to his son Solomon. And through all of his experience, through all of what he has been learning from the Lord, from all these ups and downs of his life, he's speaking these very crucial words, and I speak these to you as well. He says this to Solomon, "And you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind." Did you hear the first part? What was it? Huh? Know him. Know God. Know the great I am. See, if you don't know him, you're not going to obey him. If I go to boot camp and I have no commander over me, and I'm just doing whatever I want, I don't know what I want, then I'll just do my own thing, and I'll leave all my buddies in the foxhole, and I'll go off to the bar somewhere. Okay? But as we abide in him and know him, and when you say know him, it's not just like, oh, I know about him. No, the Israelites knew about him in the desert, and they fell. And they had to walk for 40 years in that desert. They knew about God, but there's a difference in knowing about and knowing. And knowing is when you, it's pretty much like you're a marriage, right? It's that closeness or an intimate friendship with somebody. To abide, to hear his voice, to spend time, to talk. That's called prayer. to be in his instructions, right? His word. That is to know him. To fellowship with his people is to know him. That is a critical thing about how you get a courageous love in your life. If you don't know him, you're not going to obey him. You don't obey him, you're not showing love to him. And you're certainly not being guided by love, not his love. And then it says, beyond that, it says, not only do you know him, but then you serve him wholeheartedly. That's where the obedience comes in, right? That's where you're sold out. It says, yeah, you're the one. I'm yours. You got my heart. That wholeheartedness is kind of like you're taking it out of your chest and you're just going like this, here, I give it to you, Frank. I'm yours. I'm with you to the death. Have you ever watched those movies? Says, you know, those brave soldiers, and the guy saying, are you with me? He says, I'm with you to the death. And you just get these goosebumps going, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. I want a buddy like that. I want somebody right beside me just doing that too. You ready, Sharon? Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get that bread and butter. Don, you're me right there. I connected with you there, I know. So wholehearted obedience. And the last part is that willing mind to submit. And there's so many people out there listening, Dusty, you meeting somebody who walked away from the Lord because they're saying, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that for me. And we're kind of going, he doesn't know the Lord. He knows about him. Oh, yeah, he read the word, right? He's good in the scripture. You can read the word. Even, you know, Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, says, well, you're reading scriptures and trying to find, you know, thinking that you get salvation through the scriptures, just reading it. Burp! Guys, wake up. The scriptures are pointing to me. Know me. Know me. The scriptures are written so you know me. So you will be saved. So you will have a courage, a courageous love to live life, to go forth and care for those around you, no matter if they are worthy of that or not. Those three things, know him, obey him wholeheartedly, and submit to him. To his will, just like Jesus did in Gethsemane for us. That's what we need. That's what gives us that courageous love. And that's where that the darkness that surrounds us, the love and that courage, the love just breaks through. And it blows it away. And then there's a beautiful new day dawning, and there's other people seeing the same thing we do, and we're just pointing them. This is where it comes from. It's Christ alone. It's Christ alone. You're not going to get this light anywhere else. It's from Christ alone. So I give you this. Here's a scripture I've been given to both of my boys, and I give to you, and I gave to Nolan. You remember this scripture? Do you remember what I told you? This special scripture here? Scripture is this. When you feel some darkness, when you feel a little, you know, self-pity coming along, things aren't going my way and stuff like that, or you're just needing help, you're in a tough time, this is the scripture I want you to memorize. Philippians 4:13 says this. Huh. Are you ready? In Christ, right? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. One more time. I screwed you up because I started off wrong because I was thinking something else. I can. Okay, everybody get it. Ready? I can do all things. I have through Christ, but you can say in Christ, who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's the light of dawn. That will carry you through every day. Remember that. And see your dawn break forth through Christ as he works through our lives and blesses those around us. Let's pray. Father God, again, thank you for your word and the hope and the wonderful light of dawn that breaks through the darkness. Your love. And it's not just a simple love, it's a courageous love. Courageous love against the darkest of darkness, the dark kingdom, the dark forces of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for such a great love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your indwelling power to shape us and move us forward. May we walk courageously in love, knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, to always come to you and to point everybody to you and nowhere else. So we thank you for this, Lord, this reminder. Thank you for this encouragement. Guide us and bless us in it to be a blessing. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.